For our scripture reading this morning, we will read Proverbs chapter 29, and we will pay special attention to verse 15, which we consider as the text this morning. Proverbs chapter 29. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He that heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Thus far we read the Word of God. May God bless the reading of His Word. We pay attention this morning to verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the text that we consider this morning gives practical instruction with regard to the rearing of children, practical instruction that is addressed to parents. But whenever we consider the Proverbs, and this is true when we consider this text this morning too, we must understand that the instruction is not general. That is, God does not give wise instruction to all parents, but only to believing parents. We need to remember that when God in the book of Proverbs says, get wisdom, gain knowledge, get understanding, that the beginning of that wisdom and knowledge and understanding, as Proverbs 1 verse 7 tells us, is the fear of the Lord. Thus, Proverbs is not a manual of practical worldly instruction for all people, but the book of Proverbs gives spiritual instruction to those who fear the Lord. We must remember then that the people in the world, parents who are unbelieving, cannot take hold of the practical instruction in Proverbs and in this text and say, I'm going to follow this, I'm going to use the rod and reproof, and thus I will rightly bring up and train my children. No, those who do not fear the Lord cannot take hold of the practical instruction and say, now I am doing what is right according to the proverb. Even if an unbelieving man or woman who does not love or fear God would use the rod in disciplining his or her children and use reproof as a means to instruct and to guide his or her children, they will not be able faithfully to rear their children. In the rearing of their children, even in the use of the rod and reproof, they will fail miserably. The practical instruction to the unbelieving man and woman starts with this. Repent. Turn from your folly. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and fear God. And then follow the instruction with regard to the use of the rod and reproof. The instruction in this text, in the whole of the book of Proverbs then, is to those who, by God's grace, have repented of their folly and who do fear God and trust in Him as the source of all wisdom and understanding. And so the text this morning reminds us that the discipline of children must begin with the heart of the father and the mother, and that with the heart, the father and the mother must love and reverence God. Now, the instruction of the text we noticed this morning is directed specifically to parents and has to do with the rearing of the children that God has given them. But let us remember that this text in the whole of the book of Proverbs gives instruction that is for everyone in the congregation. Certainly, we see that the text is speaking of the need for wisdom, and that means that the text is laying before us the duty not only of the parents and their children to fear and to love God, but the text is pointing to the calling of every one of us to know God, to love and fear Him, and to live in reverence for Him. Besides that, the text lays before us the prophet and the need and the use of discipline. And that's necessary for every one of us in the congregation. We are reminded, and we will see that in the text this morning, of the sinfulness of the children in the congregation. But we are all sinful, and that means that we are all in need of discipline and correction. And therefore, although we will think mainly this morning of the calling of parents to discipline their children, we ought also to thank God and think about the elders that He has provided for us as a congregation, recognizing our own sinfulness, how we are prone to stray, We're thankful that God has placed men over us, if need be, to discipline us, to correct us, to turn us from folly, so that we will fear the Lord. But this morning, we do especially see that the text focuses on the parents and the task, not only of rearing their children, but the text zeroes in especially on the task of disciplining their children. And you'll notice that the theme of the sermon speaks of the discipline of our children. And we take the perspective then that the text is speaking to believing parents who love and who fear God out of the faith that God has worked in their hearts, who then, and this is how we view the children as belonging to the covenant. And it's our children, the children of believing parents who belong to the covenant, not only the children of the world, but our children who need discipline. So let us consider this morning this text under the theme, the discipline of our children. We're going to notice in the first place the means that God has appointed for their discipline. Secondly, we will consider the necessity of this. And then thirdly, the blessing of the discipline of our children. God has, we notice in the first place this morning, instituted means for the discipline and the correction of the children of the covenant. We read of two of them immediately in the text. The rod and reproof, we read, give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And it's obvious to us then that God has appointed the rod and reproof as two means for the discipline of children. But at the outset, we must ask this question this morning. Who holds the rod? And from whose mouth comes the reproof? And you notice the answer is the mother. That comes out in the second part of the text. The mother is mentioned particularly, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. God, and the Father is not left out here, God is telling us here in this text that this is the purpose, one of the purposes of for which He has established the relationship between parent and child. God has ordained not only that children shall be brought forth into the world by their parents, but He has ordained that the children will be brought up by their parents and that they will be disciplined by father and mother. And the reason that the mother is mentioned particularly is because at the beginning of the text, the focus is on the young child, the infant, the toddler. And the point of view of God in His Word is that the Father, yes, He is the head of His wife and of His children. But when those children are young, the primary influence is the mother. The primary caregiver is the mother. And this too, the primary disciplinarian is the godly, believing mother. God has appointed father and mother to rule their children. He's given to them all the authority that they need to instruct their children, to instruct them by commanding them, to instruct them by saying, this is right, that is wrong. He's given them all authority also to discipline when they do not do what is right or do what is wrong. And perhaps it's not out of place this morning to notice that God in His wisdom does not Although we are thankful for the continuity and the harmony between the home and the school and the church, God does not say, this is the primary responsible of the principal or of the school board or of the teachers in the Christian schools. Nor does God here point to the church and say, this is the responsibility now of the minister and of the elders, and the parents may give this responsibility over to the school or to the church. God speaks to the mother and says, you may not forsake this responsibility and think that it's only your husband's responsibility. But to the mother, God says, this is your responsibility. And of course, to her husband, the father of the children. But now let us remember the very important point this morning, that this is not general instruction. God is not speaking now to all of the parents in the world, but this is very important to believing parents who fear Jehovah, who will take seriously, then, the warning, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And the implication there is that not that the child is disobedient, not that the child is wicked in his life, but the implication here is that there has been parental neglect. The parents are responsible here. The mother and the father have left the child or the children to themselves and have not faithfully carried out discipline. We need to hear that warning and ask this question this morning. What would lead to this? Why would a mother not discipline her children? Why would a father not discipline his children? Or if we do look in the church, why is it sometimes that we see elders who are called to exercise discipline, who have received from God the authority to exercise discipline, why do they sometimes not do discipline? And understand, the answer is a lack of love and regard for God. No fear of the Lord. That is the answer for why discipline is not carried out. Now, those who do not discipline, you might hear them speak of love. You might hear them speak of love as the reason why they don't do discipline. You might hear them speak of their love and their patience and their compassion, and this is why I cannot bring myself to exercise discipline. But that only indicates they don't know what true love is. Probably indicate that they love themselves more than God. That could be true of a mother. Exercising, carrying out discipline is hard work. It is a burden. It's painful. And that mother looks on that little child that she carried in her womb for 9 months, that little child that she brought forth through great pain and labor, and has a natural love for that child and says, I can't do this. It's too hard. Sometimes a father may also have the same attitude. I don't want to bother myself with the burden and the pain of exercising discipline. And maybe the parents have fallen into the attitude in which they don't take the authority that God has given them seriously, but they think of themselves more as friends of their children. I don't want to offend them, they might say. And maybe that's why elders won't exercise discipline. We don't want to offend the people in the congregation. We want to show love to them and be friendly towards them. But God looks at all of that and He says, don't you understand? When there's a need for discipline, that's needed not because the person has simply misbehaved, not because the child has been naughty, not because the child has bothered you as a father or mother in some way, but the need for discipline is because that child has sinned against me. I have been offended. My law has been broken. And God looks down on a situation where a parent might be saying, it's too difficult. I can't be bothered with discipline. And He says, you are in a situation now where you must show, do you love me? Do you love my holiness and righteousness? Or do you love yourself? Then too, the person who neglects to exercise discipline may do it because of a false love for the child, the object who is worthy of discipline. You hear parents, you hear mothers sometimes speaking of my little angel. This is my little boy. This is my little girl. I love him too much to raise my hand against him. I love him too much to take away privileges. And that may be, there may be that natural love. But in the end, God looks down on that situation and again He says, I'm the one who has been sinned against. I'm the one who has been offended. And we might not like to see it that way, but when a child sins against God, God looks down at the parents and He says, now, are you going to love me or are you going to love them more than me? People who do not discipline, this is true of parents, this is true of elders in the church, demonstrate by that they don't fear God. They don't love Him. And in the case of parents, if they will not discipline their children, they demonstrate, they say very loudly to those children, we don't love you either. In fact, we must state it this strongly. Lack of discipline is an expression of hatred. Hatred for God and His holiness. Hatred for God and His law and His righteousness. And hatred for the children. And so, the first question that the fathers and the mothers in the congregation need to ask themselves in the light of this text that speaks of the rod and reproof is not this. Are we spanking our children? Are we confronting them when they sin with discipline? Are we grounding them? Are we taking away privileges from them? No, no. The very first question of the fathers and mothers this morning is, do you fear in love Jehovah, and for His sake love the children? You see, it's very important when God blesses believing parents with a newborn child that they work hard to look at that child not only from a natural point of view, so that they don't say, this is the reason for my love for this child. This is such a precious little infant. So clean, looks so nice, so cute and cuddly and smells so like an infant. No. No, our love in all of our relationships, and now in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships between parents and children, must always be a spiritual love. Recognizing that love, true love, comes first of all from God, that it flows to us in Jesus Christ. And then out of that love, we love God, and for God's sake, we love one another, including our children. No, our love for our children must not be a mere natural love, a love in which we love them because they're so lovable. We must never love anyone because we think they're so lovable. Then we are loving apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we love other people, including our children, apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, then we're in danger of the moment that they are not so lovable, taking that love away. Our perspective must be that we and our children belong to God, are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, belong to His covenant, so that we recognize here in the proverb, we are not being taught here how to make our children be good little boys and girls so that they will behave out there in the world, so that they will conduct themselves in the right way in society. But we are to look at them spiritually so that we love and care for their souls. And if, for God's sake, we love them because we love and reverence God, then we are ready to hear this text as it says to us, you must use the rod and reprove them. Now when the text here says, the rod speaks of the rod, it is speaking here of a literal rod. It is speaking of a stick, a cane that is hard and to be used on the backside of a child to inflict physical pain. In our home, it's a piece of hardwood flooring that has a handle carved into it for easy use. In some of your homes, you may have the famous spoon, the red spoon or the green spoon that's hanging on the wall or that is in a drawer. The point is that in the believing home, there is something that the believing father and mother uses in love for God to inflict physical pain from time to time on the children. Now, there are some who come to this passage and see this as establishing a rule with regard to the instrument to be used in discipline. The Bible calls, they will say, for a rod. And that means that a parent may not use a hand or a belt or a foot or anything else to inflict pain upon their children. And some will dig into the psychology of that and say, it's very important to use a rod, not a hand. Otherwise, the children will be taught to hit each other. They'll be taught to be violent. For myself, I do not believe that the rule here is with regard to the instrument to be used, but that there are two other rules here. One rule is, in the believing home, from time to time, in the appropriate circumstances, pain must be inflicted upon the children, starting at a young age, as soon as they are able to understand the meaning of that pain. And the second rule is very important. There is no room here for any abuse. There is no room for discipline done out of anger. No room for discipline done out of hatred. But the rule here is that that discipline must be applied in obedience to God and in love for God. And if that is the perspective of the believing parent, when the father or the mother takes hold of the rod, then there won't be any abuse. Perhaps especially the father needs to be reminded that God does not allow any discipline that is overly harsh, done in anger. God requires discipline done in love for Him and for His sake. But then, maybe the mother especially needs to be reminded, God does require discipline. The use of an instrument to inflict pain upon the child. Not because, and again, the mothers may need to be reminded of that, they've made you angry. Not because they've interrupted you in the busyness of your day, but because they've sinned against God, and for God's sake, that sin needs to be addressed. But then the text also speaks of the reproof, verbal correction. That's what the reproof refers to. Taking into account the age of the child, the ability of the child to understand, the Word of God requires that the children have the discipline explained to them. When the child has done wrong, God will have that child be corrected verbally, meaning that that child needs to have it explained to them, this is what you have done wrong. This is how what you have done violates the Word of God. You may not take toys from other children. You may not hit other children. You may not lie. You may not speak evil about others. That needs to be explained to them. But then correction also includes calling the children to repentance, telling them how to respond to their sin and to their discipline. God wants you to drive that sin out of your heart. He wants you to hate that sin. And yes, children, we expect now that you're going to hate this sin and turn from it. And so God has instituted the rod and reproof as means for parents to use. Now notice, the two go together. So connected that the use of the rod without reproof, we ought to note this morning, really does amount to abuse. Now maybe not physical abuse. It may be that the rod is not used overly harshly. It may be that the rod does not leave bruises. But if discipline is not used to point the children to God, to show them their sin, to drive that sin out of their hearts, and to drive them to Jesus Christ, beloved, that is spiritual abuse. That is harm to the children. It does them no good. In fact, sometimes the reproof may be all that we need. I point you to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than an 100 stripes into a fool. Parents need to understand then that the Word of God is not saying every time your child sins, every time he misbehaves, you raise the rod to discipline them. No. Know your children, fathers and mothers. You may have a wise son or a wise daughter who loves the Lord, and you know that. And is very sensitive to sin. Some of you have experienced that. It's a look, a reproving word. And that hurts them more than the rod. And then you see the positive fruit of the reproof. But physical discipline must be there to back up the reproof if necessary. And we all understand that. There may be some children who are very stubborn, like us. Or there may be that child who is ordinarily spiritually sensitive who has become enslaved perhaps to a sin and has become a little hardened and stubborn. And we understand that if all the child hears is the reproof of mom, the words of mom, and the words of dad, and even not only mom and dad saying, that's wrong, you may not do that, but even mom and dad threatening with many words, this is going to be the punishment. If there is no punishment, those words become like tinkling cymbals and sounding brass, just noise. And then it is necessary for the children to learn, with a little pain, applied out of love for God and for the child, mom and dad are serious. They really do love God. They really do hate sin. They're serious. They really do want me to turn from this sin and to serve God. And they will learn. Maybe they won't say it right away. Maybe it won't be until many years later. They will learn. Mom and Dad not only love God, but they love me too. And this is absolutely necessary, this discipline with the rod and reproof. The Proverbs reminds us, in the second half of the proverb, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We're reminded here this morning, and must not be surprised by that this morning, that our children are not born innocent. They don't have innocent little hearts. They don't have innocent little natures. They do not learn sin merely because they're imitating what they learn from their parents or their brothers and sisters. No, the Word of God teaches us, and our confession is, that they are born with vicious little hearts and natures. And we shouldn't be surprised by this. Maybe sometimes we are. They don't come with a natural love for God. They don't come with a natural instinct to hate and to reject sin. In fact, much to our sorrow, it becomes very clear to us when they're little yet, they have hearts that love sin. And it seems to us that they are enslaved to sin because indeed they are by nature. And then a believing parent says, my child has a deceitful heart. My child, and I can't blame someone else's child, loves to be cruel. My child loves to use his tongue for evil. My child loves to be rebellious. But then this proverb shows us that not only do the children come born dead in sin, but here's the warning of the second part of the proverb. If their sinful natures are not checked, if they are not with the rod and reproof discipline for their sin, that sin will only grow and develop. That child who is a rebel towards his mother at a young age, and to his father, if he is not disciplined, is going to become a rebel in the school. He's going to become a rebel in the workplace. He will be a rebel in society. And not only that, he's going to move on from that sin to other sins, so that many sinful patterns and behaviors will be just a part of his everyday life. This is the Word of God, beloved. It's absolutely necessary to use the rod and to reprove our children, or they will grow and develop in sin. But secondly, discipline is necessary because undisciplined children are a shame to their parents. Notice, I did not say, and the text does not say, that wild and rebellious and sinful children are a shame to their parents. There are some children who receive instruction and correction and discipline from their parents, and that discipline and instruction is faithfully administered. In fact, you can look into some Christian homes and see that most of the children are godly and live well-ordered lives. But there's that one child who was raised the same way, received the same instruction, the same discipline. That child is rebellious. The Proverbs refers to that at the beginning of the chapter. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There we need to understand the proverb is speaking about someone who has been faithfully reproved and disciplined and yet hardeneth his neck. We understand that election and reprobation cut through the covenant. God in His wisdom is pleased not only to give to believing parents elect children that He will save and gather to Himself, but sometimes a reprobate child who, no matter how much he is reproved or she, no matter how much discipline that child receives, he hardeneth his neck. Oh, what a grief to the congregation and to those parents, those children are a grief. But not, and this is important, not a shame. Those parents who have received an Esau, who they reproved, who they spanked at a young age, need not be embarrassed that God in His good pleasure has given them an Esau. No, the shame is for the child who has left, or the parent who has left their children to themselves. The mother who perhaps, because she's too busy to pay attention to her children and their need for discipline, or who perhaps has that misguided notion that love means I don't raise a hand to discipline my children and I don't reprove them at all. Or maybe she does with words reprove her children. She's the mother perhaps who can be heard all day yelling at her children, raising her voice at her children, but she never backs that up with any physical discipline. Maybe she says, wait till your father gets home. But that's an empty threat. And when he comes home, all is forgotten. Or it's that father who maybe because he's too busy with work and his hobbies to be involved in the rearing of his children. Or maybe because he also has bought into that misguided and deceptive notion that love means that I not discipline my children. To them, the children will be ashamed. Before God, certainly, but also before the church and before the world. You see, this will become evident. It may be evident in the congregation. It may be evident in the worship service. It may be evident in the narthex after church. It may be evident in the grocery store. It may be evident at school. Soon it becomes evident. This is a child who's not corrected by mom and dad. And what a shame, that rebelliousness, that wildness, that sinfulness is of that child for his parents. And all will see. It's very clear. Those parents aren't obedient to the Word of God. Those parents don't love and fear the Lord enough to discipline their children. But beloved, what a blessing it is for those who out of fear for God use the rod and reproof. The text says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. You don't want your children to be fools. You don't want them to deny the Lord. You do not want them to walk in sin in the way of folly. You want them to know God. You want them to love God. You want them to know salvation through Jesus Christ. You want them to know how to live for God. And God says in His Word, then you as parents take up your authority, and you as elders in the church take up your authority, and you use the rod and reprove with My Word. And the blessing will be wisdom. They will know and love the Lord and live for Him more and more. And the blessing will be this. After a while, you recognize, I don't need to use the rod as much as I used to. And I don't need to rebuke and reprove as much as I used to. You see, instead of growing in sin, those children who have their sins checked and who are taught the seriousness of their sin and the way to deal with sin, they will grow in wisdom, in the fear of the Lord, and in godliness. You see, that's what people in the world don't understand. And that's what you need to understand this morning too. Oh, the work of discipline, parents know this, so do the elders, is a burden. It's very hard and painful. But the blessing is that the Lord uses this as a means to correct sinners, to turn sinful people from their sinful ways. Through discipline and reproof, God adds His grace. And He adds the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of our children and His people to make that effective. And so, hear God. As He says to us, I don't require perfection. Don't think that this morning. I forgive all of your sins through Jesus Christ, but through that very same cross of Jesus Christ, I sanctify you, I give you grace, and I will use you, elders and parents, to give wisdom and salvation to the children. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy love, which is so great that Thou didst go to war against our sin and iniquity. And we thank Thee for the warfare that was accomplished through the cross of Jesus Christ, where He vanquished our sin. And now we thank Thee, Father, that Thou dost send Thy Spirit to our hearts to apply Thy Word unto us, and that Thou hast given the means of discipline in our church and in our homes to go to war against our own sinful natures and sins. Build us up, Lord, in the love and the fear of Thy name, that out of that love we may desire ourselves, first of all, to confess and to turn from sin, so that then as those who know how sinful we are and how forgiven we are, we may turn to others, to our children, to others in the church, to help them in the battle against sin too. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.